It's good to be in church, isn't it? Amen. What a blessing to be in the house of God tonight. Wonderful songs, the choir, the special thank you so much for all of that. Take your Bible tonight, if you would, and open it up to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Now, those of you who were here in the morning session may think, he's finally lost it. He was on the edge and now he's finally dropped over the other side and he doesn't realize that's where he was this morning. But I just want to assure you, I do realize that's where I was this morning. I just wasn't sure you got it. So I'm going to preach it again tonight. If you found Ephesians chapter 5, why don't you just go ahead and stand with me. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 1. Now we're going to skip through a whole bunch of these verses, so pay attention to where we are, all right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse number 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Verse number 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be here tonight, that we can sing together, that we can rejoice together. Lord, thank you that we can open your word together and allow your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And we pray that that's exactly what will happen in the next few minutes. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And we said this morning in the last session that the theme of this chapter really is verse number 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. And as born again, blood bought children of God, that ought to be our desire. It ought to be our goal to be followers of God. Not just to be not going to hell. Not just to be, somebody who doesn't have to worry about whether they're saved today or saved tomorrow, but to be a follower of God. And then you go on down through and you see the highlights there that we just hit, and it's reiterated over and over how we're to walk in love and we're to walk in the light, and on it goes. And you get down to verse 17 and it says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Then we go into verse number 18. Look at verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you'll notice in your Bible, there's not a period there. Instead, what you see is a semicolon. Then look at verse 19, because it's all part of the same sentence. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Still no period there. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Still no ending to the sentence. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Period. Verse 18, 19, 20, and 21. Are all one thought. They're all distinct in the fact that we could stop and preach on each one for some time. And yet, it's all one sentence, and it's one idea, and the one idea is verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now remember, that comes in the context of everything from verse 1 all the way down through verse number 17, which is we're going to walk in the light and walk in love and be followers of God and be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. How do you do that? Verse number 18, be filled with the Spirit. That's how you do that. Be filled with the Spirit. Aside from that, the other things are not going to work. They're just not going to fall into place the way they ought to fall into place unless we are indeed filled with the Spirit. Look at verse number 19 again. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I would tell you tonight, the only way you can accomplish verse number 19 is if verse number 18 is in fact true in your life. If verse number 18 is not true, if you are not filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit of God, controlled by the Spirit of God, there will be no singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's just not going to happen. And so verse 19 is not separate subject matter. It is a direct outgrowth of verse number 18 being true. Then look at verse 20. Remember, it's all one sentence. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, not a separate topic, but a natural result of verse number 18. One who is filled with the Spirit of God, who's controlled by the Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God and guided by the Spirit of God, they come to this place in their life where they understand that they can give thanks always for all things. Without the Spirit of God, you're not going to give thanks always for all things. There are rough things. There are hard things. There are things that make good Christian people throw their hands up in despair and lose all of their thankfulness. It goes right out the window. You know what keeps that from happening? Verse number 18. It's the Spirit of God bringing to remembrance the things from the Word of God, the comfort that you need at just the moment that you need it, and putting it all together and allowing you, even in a hard, hurtful, difficult situation, to say, I'm going to thank God for this. Not because I like hurt, not because I want to be in pain or I want to be in misery, but because I know God is in control of this thing. And whatever He does is going to be right. It's going to be good. It's going to be right. It's going to be for His glory. It's going to conform me to the image of Christ. And because of that, I can say thank you, God, no matter what it is that I find myself in. But verse 18 has to be true. You have to be filled with the Spirit. Then you get down to verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Can I tell you, the only way verse 21 can ever come close to being possible in your life is if verse 18 is true in your life. We are not naturally built to submit ourselves one to another. We come into this world self-centered and headstrong and determined to get our way. That's how we're born into this world. And it takes the Spirit of God working in our lives to make us willing to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know the only way your church will work the way it's supposed to? If you learn to submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's the only way it works. So, well, it doesn't matter what the preacher says. This is what I think we should do. You need to go back to verse 18. Because if verse 18 is true, those words aren't going to come out of your mouth. It's not going to happen. But if verse 18 is not a reality in your life, oh, that's going to pop out real fast. And you're not going to be willing to submit yourself to anybody or anything because you want to be in control and you want to be in charge. And that is as far from the leading of the Spirit of God as anything could ever be in your life. You see, it's an interesting sentence, verses 18, 19, 20, and 21. And right in there, God gives us that direction in verse number 18. Be filled with the Spirit. And He gives us something to compare it to. He starts right off with, and be not drunk with wine. Now, you're looking for something that tells you you ought not drink. There it is right there. Amen. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How many of you have ever seen a drunk person? I said seen one. It doesn't matter if he was in the mirror or somewhere else. You saw one. Amen.
I know what you're thinking. So I never saw him because my vision was too blurry. Never saw him. Yeah. I know some of you. Yeah.
But you know what happens. You know what it looks like. You know what the result is. It's not pretty. That person who today could be your best friend and the nicest person you'd ever want to meet, you let them become under the control of alcohol and everything changes. Everything changes. And you would stand back and say, that's not the same person. Why? Because they're under the control of alcohol. We were in Pahrump, Nevada in January. And we had gone through, I've told you before about my oldest brother who's got a terminal illness, and they spend their winters in Pahrump, and we quite often have meetings in California after we fly out of Alaska in December, January, and before we head back across the country, we try to go through Nevada and see my oldest brother. He needs to be saved. His wife needs to be saved. And we want to get in there and be as good a testimony as we can possibly be. And the Lord has given him some more time. It's a blessing. So we went through there in January, and we were just trying to, we were trying to make up for last time, because last time we went through, it was a little bit ugly. We didn't mean for it to be ugly, but my sister-in-law had been drinking when we got there last time. And when she does that, she turns into a not so nice person. And by the time we showed up at the house, she was already mad at us. She was. She was upset. And really, can I tell you what was happening? She was under conviction. Because the first thing she wanted to talk about was, I don't want to hear anything about church. I don't want the kids inviting us to church. I mean, it was on her mind. That tells me God's working on her. Amen? But it was a very tense visit. And it was a little ugly and it was a little unpleasant. And so this year, our plan in January was just to make it as good a visit as we could. We just want to kind of smooth all that over and start over again and make it good and see what we can, what direction we can go. And we got there and everything was great. And they were good and we were good and we had a wonderful time. And I have a niece that lives there as well. They asked, they said, did you tell her you're in town? And we said, well, you know, we knew we weren't going to have time to go see her. So we didn't bother to say, hey, we're here. We'll not see you. That kind of thing. You know. And so Liz got on Facebook. Also known as the beginning of sorrows. And she sent a message to my niece. And she said, we're here and we're over at Jim's house and sorry, we're not going to have time to come see you. And she said, well, I'll come over and see you. Well, that sounds nice, doesn't it? Except that it was already fairly late at night and you don't want to see my niece after a certain time. On a full moon, whatever it is, you know, just you don't want to see her after a certain time. It's better to see her in the morning. You know what I mean? And she was feeling jovial and thought it'd be a good idea to come over. And praise the Lord, she found somebody to drive her over because she was in no condition to drive over. And she got there and she had her jug of booze in one hand with a straw so she could drink it and nobody would know. And she was drunk out of her mind when she got there. And she was just falling all over herself. And it was ugly. It was ugly. The man she had just been shacked up with was thrown into jail just a few days earlier after he nearly beat her to death. Sad thing is, as soon as he gets out, she's going to go back to him. And it's going to end bad. I'm telling you, it's going to end bad. Her husband left her when he found out what was going on. Her children left her. And there she is, just living the good life in Pahrump, Nevada. She showed up that night and she's just, you know, falling all over herself and everything else. And she was very kind to the kids and all the rest. And honestly, she's a nice person. She is. When she was just a little girl,
My mom would, we'd go over and pick her up on the way to church, and she'd be in little dresses. We'd take her to Sunday school with us, and it was a whole different world. And there she was that night. And finally she left. And Liz said, does it bother you that the kids saw her that way? And I said, nope. I want them to see her that way. Because when somebody comes along in a year or so and says, here, why don't you drink this? I don't want them to think of the billboard that looks like everybody's having a great party. I want them to think of their cousin falling down drunk and beaten half to death and destroying her life, because that's the reality of alcohol. That's the truth. That's as good as it gets. That's what it has to offer. And I want them to know that and understand there is nothing good about it. There is nothing positive about it. It's all bad all the time. You may choose a different route, but I'm kind of glad they saw it, because I want them to go back to it in their mind and know what it does. You know what the problem is? She is so controlled by that substance outside herself that she is quite literally a different person. She doesn't say what she would normally say. She doesn't do what she would normally do. She doesn't go where she would normally go. She's a whole different person. God says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now that's an odd comparison, isn't it? But I want you to stop and think about it. The end result is the same. You get a person over here filled with the Spirit of God, and you know what you have? You have a whole different person. You have somebody who goes where they don't normally go, and who says what they would not normally say, and who does things they would not normally do, because they are under the control of something outside themselves, and not something wicked and vile and destructive like alcohol, but the Holy Spirit of God. He says, that's how I want you to be. I want you to be completely under the control of the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The only way we're going to be followers of God and we're going to understand the will of the Lord and all the rest that it talks about in this chapter is if we get filled with the Spirit of God. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, don't watch religious television, because they will confuse you. He'll say, well, that's obvious what that is. That's when you start speaking in tongues and nobody knows what you're saying. Then you're filled with the Spirit. I have a theological term for that. Phooey. Phooey. No, that's not what that is. That's not what that is at all. No. Well, it's when you roll on the ground and bark like a dog. That's the Spirit of God. No, it's not the Spirit of God. That's foolishness. Not the Spirit of God. Well, it's when you're just uncontrollably laughing and you can't stop and it goes on for days. And that's not the Spirit of God. I don't know what that is, but that's not the Spirit of God. Something's wrong with all that. We get these weird ideas like it's some kind of horrible, spooky thing. And by the time we're all done, we're not sure we really want it, because it just sounds a little creepy. But it's not that spooky. It's not that weird. It's not that far out and wild. Did you know when you got saved, the day you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit of God. You got Him. You didn't get part of Him. You didn't get half of Him or a fourth of Him or a third of Him. You got the whole ball of wax. You got, now, you might have trouble with this. You got all of the Spirit of God you're ever going to get. Because you got the whole thing. You got it. Now, what you do with it, that's up to you. You see, you got the whole thing. You're in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13. In whom ye also trusted, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, after that ye heard the word of truth,
the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You know what that is? That's Bible salvation right there. That's what that is. Now, if that didn't happen to you, I'm going to tell you tonight on the authority of the Word of God, you're not saved. You're not saved. Did you see the progression? You heard the Word of God. You believed and trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. Anything other than that is not Bible salvation. If you didn't get the Spirit, you didn't get saved. If you didn't trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you didn't get saved. You have to have the whole thing or you have nothing at all. In Ephesians 4, verse number 30, it says, the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Spirit of God is not getting some more of the Spirit of God. You've got it all. If you've got him, you've got all of him. The real question is, does he have you? And how much of your life does he have control over? It's not a matter of getting more of the Spirit of God. It's a matter of you surrendering more of yourself to the Spirit of God. If there's an area in your life that is not under his control, then that's an area where you are not filled with the Spirit. Oh, you've got all the Spirit you're going to get. But if you're withholding from him a portion of your life, you are missing out. The only way you're going to be a follower of God and be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is to be filled with the Spirit. And that leads me back to what I was preaching to you this morning in the morning session. And that's Bible principles that can guide your life. How do you submit yourself to what the Word of God says and be satisfied that that's going to be good and be content with that? Be filled with the Spirit. Be followers of God. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's all dependent upon Bible principle. And if you don't understand Bible principle, you'll never know what the will of God is in a particular situation in your life. Well, how do I know what I'm supposed to wear? How do I know what I'm supposed to watch? How do I know what I'm supposed to listen to? Bible principle. That's how you know. Listen, if you're just going by a list that somebody made up 50 years ago, you're missing the boat. You're missing the boat because a lot has changed in the last 50 years. And there's stuff that those old preachers never thought of. That's why they never preached against it. They never thought of it. They never imagined it would be an issue in our society. And now all of a sudden our world has changed. So how do we know what's right and what's wrong? If nobody's there to tell us what's right and what's wrong, somebody is there to tell us. The Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God. But we have to be willing to submit those areas in our life to the control of the Holy Spirit of God. And that, I submit to you, is being filled with the Spirit. In every area in your life. Let me give you a couple of those tonight. First of all, whatever it is I have a question about. And boy, we have questions today, don't we? I've read some of this junk that's floating around by these disgruntled former church kids who grew up and now are discarding everything they know to be right just because they heard it when they were kids in church. And I may be old and I may be harsh, but my assessment of the whole subject matter is this. Their whole life growing up in church, they never had a relationship with God. All they had was the Sunday school teacher and the preacher and the Christian school teacher giving them a set of rules and telling them what to do. And because they never had a relationship with God, it just made them bitter. And now here they are, adults, some of them pastoring churches, And they don't even want to be called Baptist or independent or whatever, because that's so evil and wicked and hateful and intolerant. And
the problem is they never really had a relationship with God. Because if they'd had a relationship with God and been filled with the Spirit and been followers of God, they would have known that there's more to the rules than just my idea of what you should wear and what you should do. There are Bible principles that guide our lives. And yes, those might even slightly vary and change over time. The specifics. Specifics can change. That's why specifics are dangerous. You see, I would by no means try to be flippant or unkind. But I know of people, and you know of people, who preach against things that honestly are not wrong. Some are my favorite preachers, really, and that'll never change. But they preach against wire rimmed glasses because they are the devil. I'm not trying to be ugly or flippant. That's silly. It wasn't 50 years ago. You know why? Because there was a Bible principle involved. The problem is we get so hung up on the specific that we forget what the principle was. And we start thinking the specific came from God, and we forget about the principle altogether. That's a dangerous place to be. We need to go back to the Word of God and know why it is we do what we do. Why it is we believe what we believe. Why are we taking a stand on separation in this area and that area? Because it's relevant and it's real and it applies to our lives. But whatever the specifics are, there better be Bible principle behind it. There better be Bible principle, or your specific is nothing more than tradition. Let me give you one of those tonight. It should work in concert with the Spirit of God. Whatever I'm going to do, whatever I'm going to be involved in, what I'm going to watch, what I'm going to listen, what I'm going to sing, what I'm going to play, what I'm going to preach, what I'm going to read, it doesn't matter where I'm going to spend my time, how I'm going to spend my vacation, all the rest. It should work in concert with the Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 19 says this, quench not the Spirit. Isn't that something? Now, why would God take a whole verse in the Bible and just tell us, quench not the Spirit? I'll tell you why. Because we can quench the Spirit. That's why. We can do just the opposite of what the Spirit of God would have us to do. And remember, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. We're supposed to be filled and led and controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit of God. And if I'm doing something that is quenching the Spirit, that means I am making the effect of the Holy Spirit of God of none effect in my life. So what does the Spirit of God do? Well, He comforts. John chapter 14, verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. He guides us into truth and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. John 16, 13 through 14. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. He also reproves the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. John chapter 16, verse number 8. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Then He gives us power to witness. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So whatever it is I'm going to do, I need to run it through the filter of Bible principle. And the principle I'm talking to you about tonight is this. Does it work in concert with the Spirit of God? Or is it fighting against the Spirit of God? Is it doing something that is keeping me from being led by the Spirit of God? Is there a problem in that area? If so, and I told you this morning, then the answer is, we voluntarily remove it from our lives. Because we want to be led by the Spirit. We want to be filled with the Spirit. We want to be followers of God. We want to know the will of God. Our heart is moving in the direction of godliness. So if there's something that's hindering all of that, I'm going to voluntarily put it away. Could I do it and still be saved? Yes. Could I do it and still claim to be a member of this church? Yes. Would it cause me to lose my salvation? Would it cause me to? No. But because it's going to hinder me in my walk with God, voluntarily I'm going to set it aside and put it out of my life. So if it doesn't work in concert with the Spirit of God, it's going to be one of those things that gets set aside. Now, isn't that an odd thought, that we would voluntarily do such a thing? So if the Spirit of God is there to comfort us, then if what I'm involved in, what I'm doing and how I'm acting and how I'm conducting myself is causing strife instead of comfort, I think you'd agree with me that I probably should stop that, wouldn't you? Yeah. Well, listen, there's a problem in the church and I'm going to fix it. You better be careful with that. You better let God take care of that. And God will work through your pastor and he'll work through the proper channels. And if you just start spreading gossip and causing trouble, you're going to cause strife. And that is not of the Spirit of God. He's not here to cause strife. He's here to bring comfort. Comfort. You see how it works in real life? It must work in concert with the Spirit of God. Okay, if he's to guide us into truth and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, then if something that I'm doing is dragging people away from truth, then I better put that out of my life. If something I'm doing is not glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, I better put that out of my life. We saw that this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And here it is again now. We need to put that out of our life. Now, if it hinders the work of the Spirit of God in reproving the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, that's a tricky one, isn't it? That's tricky. What could I do in my life that would stop the process of reproving the world of sin and righteousness of judgment? Well, quite honestly, just becoming so jaded to the things of the world that I don't even see that they're evil anymore. And I see them as funny. And I see them as entertaining. And I see them as anything except the wicked, vile, reprehensible sin that they are. Then I'm moving in the opposite direction as the Spirit of God. And I need to put that away. If what I'm watching or reading or something of that nature is lessening my concept of sin, then I'm violating what the Spirit of God is trying to do in my life. Because he's trying to make sure I see that it's sin and reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. We become deadened to it very easily. We really do. And that's just going to get worse, by the way. It is. Because of our society and its wickedness and the direction that it's gone, we are expected to accept more and more and more reprobate behavior and perversion every single day. You understand that the U.S. Army just started this past week gender sensitivity training. And not trying to make you more sensitive towards the opposite gender, but towards the murky ones. We don't really need to go further, right? That's what it's all aimed toward. And so there's the official edict, and that's what we're going to do. And now there will be certain words they can't say and certain things they can't mention and things they'll just have to pretend don't exist in our army. That's really going to help us a lot, isn't it? That's going to make us a powerful force for good in the world. Listen, that's not just the military. That's in every area of our society. And if we're not careful, we just go ahead and capitulate. We just buy into it. And we just quit making a fuss over it. And we just forget how really vile and wicked and reprehensible it is. And that is not the work of the Spirit of God. The work of the Spirit of God is to reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. If it keeps us from being able to witness to somebody. Oh. Now, if one of the things the Holy Spirit of God is doing in this world is giving us power to be a witness, then anything in my life that keeps me from being able to witness to somebody is working in opposition to the Spirit of God. And I ought to put it out of my life. Do you suppose there are some things you could get involved in that would make it hard for you to be a witness? We were sitting somewhere, I forget where, and we got in late on a Saturday and we were hungry and we went to eat, or it was after church or something, and we were at an Applebee's or someplace like that, you know, that has the bar in the middle. And we're sitting over there at our little table, and it's the only thing that's open late at night, and we're sitting there eating our food, and there's a guy sitting there drinking at the bar. And he's got a t-shirt on. It's witness wear. Yeah, it's a Bible verse. Now that is a powerful testimony, is it not? Sitting there getting plastered at the bar while you got a Bible verse on your back. You know what he's doing? If he was saved, he's probably a pastor. Who knows? That doesn't make you saved, by the way. He was just fighting against the Spirit of God to no end. The Spirit of God wouldn't say, go over there and get drunk while everybody reads the Bible verse on your shirt. He'd say, abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't go down there. Get out of there. Stay away from there. You don't want somebody to see you going in and out of there. You don't want somebody to see you lifting that glass and not knowing what's in it. You think that's going to keep you from witnessing? Yeah. Sure it is. It's going to ruin whatever effectiveness your witness would have had. How about you're at work and they, you know, they hear you cussing a blue streak and telling the dirty jokes and all the rest. Then you clock out on Friday and say, hey, why don't you guys come to church with me on Sunday? Oh. We had a lady in my home church, worked for Delta Airlines at the airport there in Fairbanks. And we had another young man from the church that worked in the baggage place. And she was up at the counter. He was at the baggage. One day we were there in the office and she had come in and the pastor was there. And we were just kind of standing around and just chatting and saying hi. And he said, how's everything going at work? She said, going really well. He said, have you been able to get anybody to take a track or listen to the gospel or come to church? She said, no, I haven't. He said, really? How come? She said, well, she didn't want to say. Finally, he pulled it out of her. She said, well, it's because of so-and-so who works in the baggage and the things that he says and the things that he does. And they know we go to the same church. She said, I've invited several people to come. And they say, I'm not going to his church. You know what he just did? He just kept the Spirit of God from doing his work in some people's lives. Listen, if my habits and my language and my actions and all the rest are going to keep me from being able to witness to somebody, I need to knock it off. I need to change it. I need to fix it. I need to put it out of my life. Well, I have every right to talk however I want. Well, really, you don't. The Bible says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's not yours. You don't have the right to do whatever you want. Everything that we do needs to work in concert with the Spirit of God. And so, if you search your heart and you find something that's fighting against the Spirit of God, I'm going to say this again, and I'm going to say it every time that you hear me preach this week, then you need to voluntarily put it out of your life. Confession is good for the soul. Can I just tell you a little secret? I grew up listening to music. I did. I love music. I enjoy it very much. I like to sing it. I like to play it. I like to listen to it. And the downside of that is that I enjoy almost any music that's well done. I do. I appreciate somebody who's proficient on an instrument, somebody who sings well, has good vocal control, and the style of music is secondary to me in that I like to see it well done. And if it's really well done, I'll sit and listen to it. I've always been that way. Now, the downside is that when I was growing up, I got saved young, but I was in a church where they never really applied the Bible to real life. They just taught it like a textbook. They were good at teaching it like a textbook. They just weren't very good at applying it to real life. And I accidentally got saved there, Vacation Bible School. I was elect and didn't even know it. Amen? What a blessing. But they were nice people. They just didn't apply things to real life. And so there was never any mention of any sort of, you know, what you ought to do or how you ought to do it or nothing. Just nothing. Just nothing. And as a result, I just listened to everything that I liked. And it'd just scare you if I told you everything. It would, because almost anything you can imagine, I had it. I listened to it. I enjoyed it. I did. I mean, everything from bluegrass to, you know, rock to hymns to everything. Everything. And I was so dense, I just liked it all. I mean, just dumb as a rock. Uh-huh. It wasn't until later that the Spirit of God began to do something in my heart. He said, you know, you really shouldn't be listening to that. Because that's not going to help you in your walk with God. And it was never an issue of, but I like that. I still like that. That's not the issue. I just don't listen to it. Well, that day God gave me a hatred for that music. No, He didn't. Nope. I still like well done music of every sort. I know that's awful. I know. But I voluntarily put it out of my life. Just put it out. Honestly, it wasn't a big deal. I didn't even tell anybody. It wasn't a big deal. I burned my own records. I didn't even tell my parents because I figured Dad would be upset. So I just did them a few at a time when I burned the trash. I was always a bit of a pyromaniac anyway. So yeah. Some of you don't even know what records are. I know. They're great big black CDs with grooves in them. And you have to flip them over. It's very inefficient. It really is. Well, I just throw in a few every night when I burn the trash. There it went. Yeah, there went Nazareth. There went the Eagles. Woo. Shocking, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, it gets far weirder than that, trust me. Yeah. I told you, as long as it was done well, I enjoyed it. But I put it out of my life. On purpose. Just because it was keeping the Spirit of God from doing what He wanted to do in my heart and life. I recommend that for you. I do. Because if you take somebody's music and you burn it, and something doesn't happen in their heart, you're going to have to do it again next year. And the year after that. And the year after that. The year after that. But if they're willing to submit themselves to the Spirit of God and say, God, I want to do that which is pleasing to You, that which is honoring to You. If your heart is moving in that direction and you just submit yourself to the Spirit of God, say, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to be guided by the Spirit. That'll stick. Bible principle. It's an amazing thing. And it'll free you from legalism.
Well, if you don't listen to that, you must just be legalistic.
No, I just wanted to honor God. Is that a bad thing? I don't think so. I think that ought to be the desire of all of us. So I'm not going to ask you tonight, what are you giving up and what are you doing? And I don't, that's none of my business. What I'm going to ask you is this. Which way is your heart going? You want to be filled with the Spirit? You want to be a follower of God? You want to be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is? Or do you want to see how much you can get away with? I'm smiling at you because you can't get mad at me. I smile at you. If all you want to see is how much you can get away with, then nothing that I said is going to help you tonight. And you're going to head down the wrong path and you're going to mess up your life and you're going to make a mess. And then you're going to be bitter because this church didn't fix it. Can I just tell you a secret? It's not this church's responsibility. If you're a born again child of God, it's your responsibility. Get in there, find out what God has to say, and then be willing to humble yourself before God and submit yourself to His Spirit. Which way is your heart going? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that you give us. Thank you for the principles that we can live by, that can guide our lives. God, our world is in a mess. So-called Christianity is in a mess. They don't know which way is up. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. They don't even know if there is right and wrong because they've rejected you. Lord, don't let us do that. Help us to have a desire to be filled with the Spirit, to submit ourselves to you, to be what we can only be when we're under your control. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.